Charlie reminds me of a truth that there is in the world. And that is, you get what you preach. Well, I'm not looking for more sin. I am looking for us to be aware, Frank, of how to fight the attacks of the enemy in our life. So I want to talk to you for just a few minutes this morning on the subject of sin. I want you to notice on point number one, the middle letter in the word sin is I. The middle letter in the word pride is I. And the middle letter in the word Lucifer is I. Let me remind you that all of us, listen to the same radio station, WIIFM. What's in it for me? That's the radio station we're all tuned to. And therein is the crux of sin. Satan said to Eve, "Let me tell you what's in it for you. Let me tell you what's in it for you." And she said, "Oh, I want that." And the basis of all sin is I, sin, pride, Lucifer. I is the problem? I is the problem. Now let me ask you this question. When the light of the truth of God enters our hearts, how fast does sin flee? Anybody know the speed at which sin flees? Exactly. Michelle said, at the speed of light. Anybody know what that is? Anybody know what that is? How much? That's pretty close. Speed travels at 186,000 miles per second. Light travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. So if we were in this room and it was completely dark, and we cut on all the lights at one time, do you realize there would not be any little black, dark spots hanging around waiting to leave? That as fast as light comes in, darkness goes out. That's how fast the war is against sin in our lives. Now, you say, well, not for me, because I've been working on this thing a lot of seconds. Now, that's because we haven't cut the light on. See, you can't argue with the laws. Okay? You can talk about how you don't believe in gravity, but if you jump off the top of this building, you're going to hit the ground. Okay? And one of the laws of the universe is that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. If that is the speed at which light travels, it's the speed at which darkness flees. The problem is not that we can't, that the sin won't leave. The problem is we keep holding on to it. Because everywhere where the gospel, where the truth and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ is invited in, He comes in and sin disappears. One question that a lot of believers wrestle with is the question of, is temptation sin? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we read, "We have a chief priest who is able to sympathize with our weakness. He was tempted in every way that we are, but he didn't sin." It is important, it's not only important for you to understand this, it's important for you to understand it to where you can share it with others, ladies and gentlemen. Being tempted to sin is not sin. Because if temptation were sin, Jesus was a sinner before he got to the cross. To be tempted to sin is not sin. What the Bible says to us is that the enemy throws at us fiery darts. Okay? So just imagine painted on your heart is a big bullseye. And the enemy is constantly endeavoring to shoot a fiery dart at you. And he's trying to constantly hit that bullseye of your heart. If one does hit, do you know how to put a fire out? You smother all the oxygen out of it. And just cover that whole thing in prayer. And smother the fire out. Because you know something about fire? How many of you saw the fire on TV this week that was at the condos across from the Panthers playing field? Man, if you've ever been involved with a fire, those things are terrible. You know, and the thing about a fire is as long after the fire's out, the smell remains. It just stinks forever. You know? And there's lots of things that are destroyed in a fire that never touch the flames. But the smoke destroys it. Because a fire will consume. Which is why when we are struck with temptation, that fire needs to be extinguished right away. Because the more it burns, the more it destroys. And please have absolutely no doubt whatsoever, the intention of the enemy is to burn you to a crisp. That whatever it is, he can't just totally burn up in you. He'd like for there to be enough smoke on it that anybody want to be around you. But to be tempted to sin is not sin. I remember one time going into a gas station and I'd bought $10 worth of gas. I handed the girl a $20 bill. She gave me my change back. I stuck it in my pocket. I'm walking out to the car. I pulled the change back out and I was going to stick it back in my wallet, and she had given me back the $20 bill I'd given her. Now, I'm going to tell you that the first thing that crossed my mind was jump in your car and get gone. And that is not sin. Now, to jump in the car and take off would have been sin. But I turned around and marched back in there and said, "Ma'am, let me tell you what I think just happened here." And she couldn't believe that I had brought her the money back. To be tempted to do wrong is not sin. But when we start dwelling on it, we are not enveloping it. Hello? It is enveloping us. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 5. I'm going to read you 5 and 6. This is the message we've heard from Christ that we are reporting to you. God is light, and there isn't any darkness in Him. If we say we have a relationship with God and yet live in darkness, we're lying. We aren't being truthful. Ladies and gentlemen, please look this direction, especially for all of you ex-Baptists. This was one of our favorite verses. Okay? God created Thursday nights for what? Visitation. So you say every Thursday night you're supposed to go out, knock on the doors, and invite people to come to church. And one of our favorite verses was, if you say you have no sin, you lie and the truth is not in you, we're all sinners. Okay, but here's what I want us to remember. The Bible wasn't written to sinners. The Bible was written to believers. John's not writing to sinners. If you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. John is writing to the church. And he is saying, if you say you have no sin, you are lacking in your relationship with God. Now, let's settle this issue also about sin for a second. Because some of us are sitting here feeling very comfortable so far. How many of you know it gets better as it goes? We're feeling real comfortable so far because we don't have this big sin in our lives. Or we've had these big sins in our lives in the past. I used to drink. I used to do drugs. I used to do this. I don't do that stuff anymore. I feel a lot better about myself. When God talks about... Well, let's just talk down where we live, okay? Well, let me just tell you this story. I had this man who used to came and visited our church for a couple months. Came up to me after church and he said, "Preacher, my family and I, we're thinking about joining the church here, but I just have this one issue that I can't quite get past, and I just want to see what you think." I said, "Okay." He said, "After church, all of the people in our church who smoke, they go outside, and they're smoking outside. And I just think that that's a real bad example for our church. And I think that the issue needs to be addressed to where the people who smoke, they need to smoke once they leave the church property. Because I think they're saying to the community something and to people who ride by on this road, things that we don't want said." I said, "Okay. I'll pray about that. But let me talk to you a second. Because what bothers me more than their smoking is your attitude towards those people who smoke. That what the guy who's driving by in his car thinks in his head about us is more important than those people who just spent, who are smokers, who just spent two and a half hours in church going, 'I wish you'd hurry up and get done.'" I said, "So what I want us to really pray about is not only that God will set them free from their bad habit and set you free from your bad attitude." Of looking at a brother and passing judgment on what they should and should not be doing. Some of you look at me kind of hard. See, most of us in this room, we're not dealing with pornography or drugs or alcohol or all what we call the big stuff. And even God's moved past that in most of our lives. And what God's dealing with now is not what we're doing, but why we're doing it. He's double checking our emotions. Motivation. There's the word I meant to use. Double checking our motivations. He's looking at the thought behind the intent of the heart. And therein is where you find my sin. Because there's a lot of times I do things that are good things and yet will wind up being burnt on judgment day as wood, hay, and stubble because I did them so that you'll think I'm a nice guy. Even sometimes they are done without me realizing that that's why I did it. How many of you like to be liked? And in its proper balance, there isn't anything wrong with that. But lots of times we do things for people not because we have a heart of Jesus to give, but we do it because we want them to like us. And you know, I'm going to tell you something right now. There's no reward for that, is there, Charlie? There is a reward for that. You just got it. They like you. No reward in eternity. Verse 6, we have a relationship with God and yet live in the dark. We're lying and we're not being truthful. I want us to just be real careful this morning that we're not sitting here saying to ourselves, John's talking to everybody but me. Because I'm going to tell you what, there were a couple of necks last week I'd like to have wrung. All because I wasn't under control, not because of what it was they had done necessarily. And Jesus is constantly working on that thing. Well, what are you expecting? Us to be perfect? No, that's what He's expecting. I don't believe that. Well, here's what He said. Walk in the light, sort of kind of like I do in the light. That's not what He said, was it? He said, walk in the light as... Well, that's a pretty big demand. Verse 7. But if we live in the light, in the same way that God is in the light, we have relationship with each other, and the blood of His Son Jesus cleanses us from every sin. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe the verse, just take your pen and just mark it out. You know what the problem is, Peggy, in the relationship between me and you? Of course, there's not a problem between me and you that I'm aware of, but I'm just using you as an example, Peggy. One of us is not walking in the light of Jesus' revelation to us on how we should treat each other. Well, don't look at me like that. Is that what it said? If we live in the same light God is in the light, we have a relationship. Doesn't say with God. What does it say? You know why you scream at me? No, I'm just kidding. It's because I'm not walking in the revelation of all that I should on how to treat my wife. You know why there is such a cohesiveness in the eldership of this church? Because nobody's bringing a personal agenda to the table. Every man at the table is laying his head down on the table and going, oh God, it's whatever you want. And because there's no hidden agendas, there is a relationship with each other, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sin. Verse 8. If we say we aren't sinful, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let me also paraphrase the Don Hall Gospel in here and say, if we say, oh, my sin's not so bad, we are deceiving ourselves. If we say my sin is not so big, we are deceiving ourselves. Oh, God, I don't want to say that. Oh, Lordy. Okay, let me say this, because I can't get away from it. I've heard it three times, and I've run all three times, but let me just go ahead and say it. Whatever it is that you're upset about this morning, you need to look inside for the answer. It's not if Michelle just wouldn't do this or if she just would do that. But any time I am angry, whether it's at her, or whether it's at Jackie, or whether it's at Bruce, the problem is in Don. Now, there is a place to be angry. Jesus became angry. He said, hey, you bunch of dead men's bones, you bunch of whited sepulchers, you're all worried about how the outside looks while the inside's got rotten corpses in it. But I'm going to tell you something. Out of the 50 million times I got upset last week, I would venture to say probably none of them were righteous indignation. And if any of them were, there was maybe only one or two out of the 50 million. You follow what I'm saying? Oh, it's wonderful for us to have on our little keychains and on our bumper stickers and on our coffee mugs, WWJD. But it becomes even more wonderful if when I get upset, I would WWJD. And respond the way Jesus would respond. Because anything else, ladies and gentlemen, is sin. Now, let me alleviate a particular fear also. Some of you are going, wait a minute, I don't want to hear all this because I don't want you telling me I'm living in sin. Well, you are living in sin. But somehow or another, see, we have it in our heads that if we've got sin in our lives, Jesus doesn't love us as much. And therein is where the lie comes. Because you see, Jesus knows about the sin you don't even know about yet. And still loves you anyway. Now, I can only tell that to you. I cannot explain that. Because that just goes right over my head. I don't mean I don't believe it, because I do believe it. Because I hold on to it. But I can't explain how He sees the sin I'm not even aware of and loves me anyway. But you know what? He sees the sin I'm not aware of and He loves me anyway. Verse 8, 9, I mean. Isn't this wonderful? God is faithful. How's the King James read? Who's got a King James? Somebody read it to me. Michelle, read it to me.
Verse 9.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
God's Word translation reads, God is faithful and reliable. If we confess our sins, He forgives them and cleanses us from everything we've done wrong. Now see, there's where the good news is. Now, let's discuss the word confess. Confess is not, oh God, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. Confession is not, oh God, I've done something wrong, it's hurt me a whole lot, I don't want to hurt anymore, please forgive me. Confession means agreement. In other words, I sin and God says, Don, that's a sin. I don't go, no, it was just a mistake. It was a shortcoming. It was a personality flaw. It was an error. I go, God says, Don, that's sin. I go, Don, that's sin. God goes, Don, I'm holding you responsible, not for what happened, but for how you responded. And I go, I'm holding me responsible for not what happened, but how I responded. God says, I am willing to change you. I'm holding you responsible for letting me change you. And I go, Don, God is willing to change you. Let Him have it, son. If we confess our sin, in other words, if we agree with God, with what God says about our sin, that's when He then becomes faithful. He doesn't become faithful because of what we say. He becomes faithful when what we say agrees with what He said. Because God's not bound by our words. He's only bound by His own. Verse 10. If we say we've never sinned, we turn God into a liar and His word's not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin, yet if anyone does sin, we have Jesus Christ who has God's full approval. He speaks on our behalf when we come into the presence of the Father. He is the payment, or your King James says the propitiation. He is the payment for our sins, not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Okay, very quickly I want to run over four facts about sin. Fact number one. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, it reads, but if you do not do also, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And this is how the end of the verse goes. Be sure your sin will find you out. Fact number one, our sins will find us out. See, that's part of where our problem comes in. God says, Samima, I'm going to whisper this real quietly because I want you and I to deal with this problem between us. And what we do is we come back to God and we go, well, you know, it's not that big a problem. Doesn't nobody know about it but you and me. And God goes, okay, I'll take care of that. And He jumps. This is what He says. He gets up on top of our house. Isn't that what He says? He gets up on top of our house and He goes, hey, Wes! Guess what Samima's doing? Not because that's what He wants to do, but because we told Him that's what we wanted Him to do. He goes, okay, well, if the only reason you're not dealing with this is because only two of us know about it, I'll be glad to tell everybody. I'd much rather handle it with you alone in the closet. But if you won't handle it with me alone in the closet, I will spill it out. And how many of you know that it will come out at the most embarrassing point of your life? And let me say this also about sin. Let me stand here. So if anybody throws anything, I'll have room to duck. If it doesn't find you in your life, it'll find your children in theirs. The fruit falls next to the root. Bill Gothard used to say, love that man. Would like to teach him a little bit about mercy, but I love that man. Bill Gothard used to say, what we excuse in moderation, we will see our children abuse in excess. What we excuse in moderation, we will see our children abuse in excess. How many of you, don't raise your hands, don't go, I go, mm-hmm. But how many of you are living examples of that? Because Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will, not might, could, perhaps, will find you out. But it doesn't have to, because God's ready to deal with it just between the two of you, if you'll let Him. Numbers chapter 5, verse 25 gives us the second fact about sin. Your iniquities have turned away these things. And the point number two is, your sins have withholden good things from you. Your sin has withheld good things from you. Numbers chapter 5, verse 25. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to write that down because you look this in direction, because it took me 40 years to learn this, what I'm going to tell you right now. And I hope that you've already learned it. And if not, I hope you'll learn it right now. Okay? Our sins cause God to hold good things from us. Let me put a comma there. But it is not because God is angry at us. God doesn't go, well, I can't believe you did that. I'm going to keep this for myself. Because that's not what happens. Good things are withheld from us from sin because of sin, because that's the consequences of our sin. It is not because that's not what God wants us to have. You see, here's the thing you got to remember, ladies and gentlemen. Our sin didn't catch God by surprise. He wasn't looking down over the earth going, exactly, you know. I've never heard God say, I can't believe you did that. Because He already believed it. When I jumped out of the womb and a doctor was holding me by my ankles, God already knew. 2,000 years before that, He already knew. And 4,000 years before that, He already knew. And said, it's not going to catch me by surprise. It's going to catch Don by surprise. It's not going to catch me by surprise. And the natural consequence of our sin is that good things are held back from us. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. It's not a punishment from God. God's not going, eat them. I can't believe you did that. Because actually, God doesn't have to smack us. Our sin smacks us down. But let me tell you why this is so important, ladies and gentlemen, because some of you right now, I'm venturing to guess in a room this size with as many diverse people as we have, there may be some of you right now who are sitting in your chairs in the privacy of your own home in the middle of the night, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I can't get ahead because God is holding me back because I did so-and-so. No, no, no. What you did is holding you back. In order for God to open up His hand and remove the consequences of the seeds we have sown, all we have to do is ask forgiveness. And there isn't any sin God will not forgive if we will agree with Him concerning the sin. It all ties back in together. It's like I've shared with you before. God's never been disappointed in you. Never. Because disappointment's based in expectation. Expectation is based on not knowing. And what is there, God doesn't know. So God's never been disappointed in you. Never. And never going to be. But He can wash away the consequences of our sins when we confess our sins. Fact number 3 is found in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2, which reads this way. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and here's the third fact. Sin has hidden God's face from us. Sin has hidden God's face from us. There are times, ladies and gentlemen, when we stand and we say, "Oh God, where are you?" And not every time, but many times, it's sin that keeps us from being able to see Him. Sometimes it's not our sin, it's just the sinful environment in which we live and we're under attack and we can't see. But sometimes it's not an attack of the enemy, it's our own sin that keeps us in trouble. Then the fourth fact is found in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. 118, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Fourth fact, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. God not only wants and is willing and is able to deliver us from what we call the big things. The smoking, the drinking, the drugs, and yeah. He's also able to deliver us from the things that we choose to live with, like anger, impure thoughts, impure motivations, unforgiveness, and though my unforgiveness be as scarlet, He has the ability to heal and make it white as snow. Though my anger be as fast as a flash pot, He has the ability through His blood to diffuse it. Though I hold a prejudice against another person for any reason, the way they're dressed, color of their skin, where it is I think they're from, because I know their parents, because of the car that they drive, whatever the prejudice is, though that prejudice be embedded in me, His blood will wash it white as snow. He'll even tell you when you don't think you are prejudiced. He'll tell you that you are, if you are. About 10 years ago, Michelle and I used to run this little business. You've seen they're real popular now. We got in on the ground floor, but you know, at the July 4th week, they set up those tents in the Walmart parking lots. We were with a company that started that year. Well, right the year after the law passed in North Carolina for them to be able to do it, we were on the ground floor of a company that did that, and we ran a tent for 2 or 3 years selling fireworks the week of July 4th. I think it's like our second year. I was in there and God spoke to my heart and He said, "I want to deal with you about your prejudice." Now you all know my daddy well enough to know there was no prejudice in my house. There was none whatsoever. And because there was none whatsoever, I thought I didn't have any. And God spoke to my heart as loud as I'm talking to you and said, I want to deal with you about your prejudice. You know what my first response was? God, I'm not prejudiced. He goes, oh, yes, you are. And all of a sudden, you've had this experience with God. It's like your life's on a movie screen and you can see it going on in front of you. Every white child that walked into that tent buying fireworks, I never paid a second look at. Every black child that walked in, I watched their every move. And never even knew I was doing it. But here's my life on this big old screen. I'm sitting there watching myself. I'm going, Dad, blame I do that, don't I? He said, yeah, I told you. I'm like, I am so sorry. Now, there isn't anything wrong with watching children make sure they don't steal something. But I need to watch them all. But you know, I wasn't even aware that prejudice existed there. But God was gracious enough to say, I want to wash that away out of you. Did me a tremendous favor. On your second page, the solutions are these. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Ladies and gentlemen, let me end with this truth. God is not waiting to forgive you of your sin. God is not waiting, that's correct, to forgive you of your sin. When he said, it is finished, that's exactly what he meant. God has already forgiven you of every sin you've ever committed, every sin you're sitting here pondering right this minute, and every sin you're going to do between now and the time you see him face to face. God has already forgiven you. It is finished. We don't need any Greek scholars to explain to us what that means, do we? When he said it's done, he meant it's done. So the question, don't let the enemy trick you into, well, I don't know if God will forgive me. I don't know if I can be forgiven. Don't let the enemy trick you with, I know God can, but I'm just not sure he wants to. It is finished. We just got to want the finished more than we want the sin. And when we do, it's there for us. And when we do, it's there for us. In the week to come, let's try a little more WWJD. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit of God to make us more sensitive and more aware of when our action, when our reaction, and when our reaction that nobody else even sees is not what Jesus would do, that he'll bring it up within us and give to us, ladies and gentlemen, a heart to repent. George, I don't want there to be anything standing between your relationship and mine. I want to treat you like Jesus would treat you. And when we treat each other that way, we'll love being with each other. And we will love being with each other. Let's pray. Lord, your word tells us that we're fools if we compare our sin, either to other sin or to other people's. And we don't want to be fools. We want to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove in your kingdom. Father, I confess that I have an attitude about a lot of things that does not line up with your kingdom. Make me whole. Heal me and set me free. Father, I confess and I agree with you that in so many areas in my life, my attitude stinks. By the power of the blood of the Lamb, set us free, O God. Free to be all that you've created in your kingdom. And more, so much more, like your Son Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Got a special speaker will be here with us next Sunday for Mother's Day, Mrs. B. And so I want to encourage you to come for that. And if you did not have a chance to sign the book for Betty Poplin, please do that.